Welcome to In the Garden. This is your radio show hosted by UC Master Gardeners on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. My name is Mark Fearley, and I will be your host today. And just for the record, the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the Board of Regents. For more information, go to KUCI.org. Today, our show will be a bit different, as we will be talking about community gardens and not about horticultural issues or planting problems. Today there are many community gardens in our cities, and they are all different. And I know I've been to quite a number of them, and some are really a mess, some are really organized, and today we have a master gardener by the name of Mary Lou Ledgerwood as our guest. Mary Lou has a great deal of experience in the area of community gardens, and we will talk to her about some of the issues and benefits. Please welcome Mary Lou. Mary Lou?
Hi, I'm really glad to be here today. And I'm really interested in informing all of you about community gardens.
Before we get started, Mary Lou, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? For example, how long have you been a Master Gardener?
I came to the Master Gardener program in 2002, and I've been really active in the program in various aspects.
And you're also past president of the Orange County Toastmaster Gardeners.
That's right.
Which is our closed club, right?
Right. We formed the Toastmasters of Orange County, Master Gardeners of Orange County, so that we could make better presentations to the Orange County public. We want everybody to be informed about horticultural interests in Orange County.
Let me ask, what motivated you to become a master gardener?
You know, I have a history. I was born in Texas, and one of my grandmothers lived on a farm and had this fabulous, fabulous vegetable garden. And my other grandmother lived in the city, and she had sweet peas, and I just remember those two experiences, and they really kind of spurred me on to continue in this horticultural kind of vein.
Very good reason, and you are also great at volunteering, and that is volunteering of your time and giving to others, and that's what master gardeners do, besides passing on their knowledge and scientific knowledge that is brought to us from the University of California research centers and the cooperative extension. It's all research-based information. Is that correct?
That's correct. We want people to know, but we want them to know the right way, and that's really important to us. And it's really important that we all volunteer a little bit. I think that when we help other people, we live a life of gratitude, and that's really good.
Isn't that the truth? Let's get started with our community garden issues today. Probably the best thing to do is let's get started. How do we start one of these things?
Well, a few years ago, I saw this article about this community garden that they wanted to start in Huntington Beach, where I live. And so I went to a few meetings. And to organize a community garden is not as easy as you think. There were a lot of steps. We had to gather a lot of people and that were interested and keep them in the know so that they would always know what's going on, and we had to have a plan. And we looked and we did some research about how other community gardens worked. That was part of it. But we also had to find a place to put our community garden. And in Southern California, that's not really an easy thing because there's a lot of cities in Orange County, and a lot of them are already so crowded that there's not room, which is one of the reasons that there are community gardens, too. We have people that have apartments or that have small lots of land, and so a community garden is ideal for them.
That's for sure. That in the past 30 years or so, we went from small houses on big lots to now big houses on small lots.
That's right.
And a lot of people, as a result, have given up gardening, but would love to have a garden, and community gardens allow us to do that. Is that right, the way you look at it?
That's right. There's a lot more interest in community gardens now. Especially people are looking for organic food, and that's something you can grow in a community garden. And not only the food that you grow in the garden, but there's also community there that is really important. And you get to meet like-minded people, which is really good.
And we learn as a result.
That's correct.
But in getting a community garden started, first step is really to organize a meeting of people who would like to have
That's right. There were a lot of people in the beginning who were very interested in organizing this community garden. We had to form a planning committee, so that we would know exactly what we wanted, you know, how many acres could we possibly get, you know, what would we do, would it be organic, what would it be? So people have their different functions, too, that they know better. Some people are really good at managing, and some people are good at construction, and we had one person who dug all the trenches for us at the garden so that we could put in a water supply. So there's just different skills and talents that are needed for a community garden, and getting people together who have first of all something that's like-minded, growing good food, and yet some people that are diversified enough to have different skills and talents. That's really how it starts.
So being able to utilize the resources of your interested people is one of the keys to having a successful community garden, would you say?
That's right. And since community gardens are all different, like you said, everybody has different resources. And one of the resources is the recreation department at the city, because some community gardens are formed right there, grassroots from the community, and they look for their land and they do all of the steps that are necessary for a community garden. But sometimes if you call the rec department, the parks and rec department of your city, you can find that they already have places that are designated for community gardens. And that's an easy way in Orange County if your city already has something going. So it's important to check that first.
Good advice. Go to the city Parks and Rec Department. Find out what you have to do. There might be regulations. There might be people that are already interested. There might be even a number of possible sites.
That's correct, yes. Many cities have community gardens. And I think that there might be cities that are interested in starting them if they have a right group of people that will take charge of that and really go with it.
Let me ask you this. Do you normally suggest getting a sponsor for for a community garden, or are there resources from the city, Park and Rec, that might be available? Do you have any knowledge about that?
As far as sponsors go, I think there's a lot of different avenues for that. I know one community garden in Costa Mesa, a church is sponsoring a community garden, and they put it in the back of their parking lot, and they have people that come there all the time and help with that community garden. And they've put that together very well. And we've had recently a call from one of the YMCAs around here who's interested in putting together a community garden. Sometimes at the Boys and Girls Club. Other places could be different churches or schools.
Nonprofit groups,
all kinds of places.
That would like to bring community gardens into their background and supply money, because money is needed, right?
That's right.
To develop the gardens, etc.
There's a lot of different ways that you can raise money for community gardens, and basically it's the same with any kind of nonprofit group that wants to raise money. You can get donations online somehow, or you know, to one of those GoFundMe kind of things, or perhaps, I know that in our community garden we sold bricks with names on them.
Oh, I like
and
that
was kind of good. So you could sponsor just a little square foot of the community garden, and that was really very nice.
Now, can you give us a few pointers or tips about what an ideal site should have?
Well, I know that we really need sun. Sun is one of the biggest things, because you're growing vegetables, and that's just a given. And vegetables need at least 6 hours of sun a day. And you need water. And one of the things we recommend, too, is soil testing, because you don't know what's been going on with the soil.
True.
And we really need to make sure that that soil is good. Because what's been in that space before you came to look at it?
You never know, do you?
If it was a gas station, I don't know if that would be a really great place to do it, you know?
Likewise, so, I would think that having a nice level plot.
Level is good.
And not close to trees. I mean, trees with roots can really goof up a garden.
Yes,
as far as sun goes, et cetera. So,
that's true.
So we have to have some parameters as to what an ideal site should be.
Right, and this is something that your planning committee can really get a hold of. I think that all those brains together can think of, they can make a list of all of the parameters that you need in a community garden. You know, the sun, the absence of trees. You might consider the neighbors, because some neighborhoods don't want a community garden in their neighborhood. And so it's really important to have a plan for dealing with neighbors, to inform them what's going to happen and keep them in the know. That's a really important thing.
Okay. Going about, once we've located a site, it seems to be good. We can get water to it, and like you mentioned earlier, building access to having water close by, in my opinion, is one of the key things of a community garden also, access to water.
It is. One of the things that we did when we started the community garden is that we laid out all the plots, and we had to decide how big the plots would be.
How did you go about doing that?
Well, our committee kind of had a consensus on that. We decided how much land it would take to grow a reasonable amount of vegetables for each person, and then we plotted that out according to how much acreage that we had. After that, we looked at how we could bring water to that acreage and tried, and we had to make decisions like how many hose bibs would we have and how many gardens would each hose bib
service,
yes.
Sure.
How many garden plots would each hose bib service? So we had decided that if we put a hose bib where there were four different plots that kind of came together, that we would be able to use that for watering all of those gardens. So that kind of turned out really good. But we had to do all of this planning ahead of time before we did any trenching for the water or did any kind of other kind of construction.
Very interesting, because that is a key factor, figuring out where you get your water, how you can service the gardens, determining the size of the garden.
Mm-hmm. Other factors that we looked at was, did we want to compost or not?
I was going to bring up compost.
Oh, yes. It's difficult to compost in a community garden, I think. We put a couple of compost bins in there, but to compost, you have to make sure that everything's chopped up fine, that there's no pests or anything on your plants, and there's a lot of other different kind of things. So it was difficult because if you're dealing with 100 different gardeners, then it just doesn't
anything
work.
Anything that they have that they don't want goes in there, and it's all different sizes, whether it's compostable or not, or
right,
whatever it's made up of.
So sometimes it's easier to get the green waste of your city to take that away. You know, they have green waste bins, and
yes,
that's good. That was one of the things. We had to make room for all of the different equipment we had for our community garden that we shared. You know, sometimes you have it's mechanical equipment, any kind of mechanical equipment, things like that. You know, so we had to get a large bin kind of thing that we could store that in and lock it.
Mary Lou, I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment to let our listeners know they are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And here we go. We're back
again. Okay.
But I like what you're talking about, because for composting, for example, is one of the things that I have noticed when I've given workshops in community garden. It's a total mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't composting anything. They're just creating a pile of sticks.
That's right.
And so one of the good things that perhaps community gardens could do a number of seminars on composting, good composting, teaching people how to compost, because oftentimes, at least I'm sure you found that people have interest in joining a community garden because it sounds nice to grow your own vegetables, etc., but they don't really know the good principles.
Right, right. One of the things that we've done, the Master Gardeners, the UC Master Gardeners, is that we have put together a website that gives all the information on that, a section of our website.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
For a moment. Maybe you could bring us a little information where they can look for it.
Well, one of the What we did was put together all the information that we had garnered about community gardens with a lot of different resources and links so that people could figure out how do they make rules for community gardens, how do they learn about everything. I think a couple of the really good things that community gardeners need to learn about, especially in the beginning, is soil and what to grow when. Those are the two most important things, I think, because it will help you to have a rotation of crops. Because here in California, in Southern California, we have basically two huge growing seasons. And since we have those growing seasons, and if you have a community garden plot, it's really just ideal to take advantage of those two seasons. And the master gardeners have presentations about soil, and they have presentations about what to grow when. And that is really an ideal way for a community garden to go and to learn all of how to really do that and to rotate their crops and everything that they need to know about growing in their plots so that they will get maximum yield.
And that's one of the real reasons why people stop gardening. Bad results, isn't
that
right?
That's right. We want to get the best. Here's the website, in case you need that. It's MG Orange, which stands for Master Gardeners Orange, MGORANGE.UCANR.EDU.
Let's give that a few times during our program today so people can't pick up on it in case they didn't have a pencil and paper, but maybe they hear it a couple times.
That's great. And, you know, the reason that our website looks like this, there's other initials in here that maybe you don't recognize. The UCANR means that we're part of the Agricultural and Natural Resources arm of the University of California. And those are the people that really give us all of the research information that we distribute to the community.
Very helpful. Let's give that one more time.
MGORANGE.UCANR.EDU.
Mary Lou, did we talk about preparation and developing of the garden itself? What are some important things that beyond setting up diameters for the garden, how big it should be, etc. And you talked about soil. We talked a little bit about composting. Maybe let's talk about what compost actually is. Is it
Well, composting basically is turning what you have into something that you can really use. It has four components. It has brown matter, green matter, air, and water. And so the brown matter is anything that's dead, you know, like dead leaves, and some paper can be used as that. It's pretty dry. Brown is usually the color it is.
Those are basically carbons, right?
Right, they're carbons. And then the nitrogen is the green stuff. If you have grass cuttings, leaves that are not dried out, but, you know, leaves that you've trimmed from your tree, or if you've cut the top off of an onion or some tomato plants or something like that in your garden, you can use those in your compost.
Those are the greens.
That's the green.
Like grass.
Yeah.
But there are some restrictions with grass. For example, be careful with grass that has a lot of nutrients that have been used by fertilizer, fertilizing or weed control substances, etc.
Yeah, we have to really be careful with what we compost, because whatever goes into the compost comes out of the compost, and we really want the best.
We want the nutrients.
Right, we really do. We want the nutrients, and they need to go into the compost, into the brown and the green, the nitrogen and the carbons, and with they have to go in with water and air, so you have to turn the compost to make it aerated so that it will compost.
As well as keeping it a little bit damp,
right,
so that it rots, right?
That's right. And this whole combination, what this whole combination does is that it brings the compost up to a high enough temperature to really cook it, like we say, just kind of cook it, and to give the compost all of the nutrients.
So if you see some steam coming out of your compost pile, you know it's working, right?
That's right. And a lot of people think that you need to have a compost bin in the sun, and that's not true. It's that the sun is not what makes it steam like that. It's just all of the interaction of all of the ingredients of the compost that make it steam like that.
And it really, if you have small pieces in, it doesn't really take very long.
No, it really needs to be chopped up finely. And you know, if you're in a community garden and it's not working for you to compost there, take your stuff home with you and have a compost at home. Then you can bring back that rich compost to your garden plot and just make it a really good growing garden plot that would be working really well.
And watch your vegetables flourish.
That's right.
And one good thing, too, about compost that at least I've learned is good composting is also like an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It prevents weeds, etc., or it helps deter weeds, because weeds are another thing that I've noticed in the community gardens I go that aren't really successful, and that is something that we don't like to work with. Weeds. I hate weeds myself.
It's one
of the reasons I, as a child, because my dad in our victory garden at home made me do the weeding.
Uh-oh.
Deterred me from gardening for a while, but I've learned how to do without weeds.
Okay, well, I enjoy weeding, so it's like...
Oh, well, see, everybody's different. You probably didn't do it as a kid. They didn't have weeds in Texas.
I want to get back to another part of the community garden that I forgot to mention, and that is rules. And it's like nobody likes rules. Well, maybe some people do. But it's very important to establish rules for your community garden so that everybody, every plot, everyone that owns a plot there is on the same page, because you can decide to have an organic community garden, and maybe some people don't like that because maybe you have gophers and they want to get rid of the gophers in a non-organic way, and that's not going to work for everybody if you have an organic garden. So one of the things that you really need to do is to establish rules for your community garden. How much are you going to charge for each of the plots? That determines a lot of things, how you're financing your community garden, because you're going to have to pay for the water, you're going to have a few expenses, you might have the city come and haul away stuff. You might have other things, other kind of expenses that come with the community garden. So you really need to make sure that everybody is on the same page, that you have a plan for how much you're going to charge for the plots, how the plots are assigned, how tools are shared. Are you going to meet?
Have to have tools.
That's right. And some people have their own tools that they use, which is great. But there's other tools that perhaps they want to share. They want to pool their money and get one big thing that they can rototill or do something like that, so that they would be able to share that, you know. But they in order to do that, there's got to be some kind of rules.
When they can be used, how they're used, who can use them,
right.
Who pays for this or who pays for that.
And then there's basic maintenance. And in a community garden, there's different paths and there's different things around the community garden that need to be done. Sometimes you need to get the paths weeded, or maybe you're going to gravel the paths. We don't, you know, whatever you're going to do, you need to determine what you're going to do for that. The other thing that we did in our community garden is that there's an organization, and I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's something like Grow a Row for the Hungry, and we decided that we would do that. So some people did that, and then other people, we had a little committee that people would take all of the extra produce and they would give it to a soup kitchen or to somewhere so it could be used in a different way. So that if you have 180 zucchinis in your community garden, you can get rid of them.
Without, you know what I mean? Letting them rot.
That's right.
And that's one of the beauties of having a community garden is growing for your needs and not just putting in and having in your own garden 30 cabbages.
What are
you going to do with 30 cabbages?
That's
but
right.
You might have four, and you might plant them at different times. So they maybe once a month you pull a cabbage out.
Right. And one of the things I think that they did was they gave one plot to an organization that just grew for soup kitchens and for places like that. So it was really very, very nice that they would be able to do that. There's another thing that we need to discuss, and that's communication, because all the members in the community garden need to somehow stay in touch so that they know
when things are happening,
right?
Who's going to be there? Want to get together with somebody that has knowledge about this? Whatever. I think that's a,
right. You can have a Facebook page for your community garden, which is really nice because
and it's free, right?
Oh yeah, or an email list. You can do that too. We put up a bulletin board, too, in our community garden so that people would be able to see what's going on. It had a little calendar on it and also new information, how to grow something or if something was really in season or just different things like that.
Mary Lou, I'm just going to take a break for a moment, give you a chance to catch your breath because you've been divvying out a great deal of very vital information to our listeners. I love what you're talking about because it can make a garden, it's a difference between making a community garden successful or a failure. But for our listeners, you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And again, just a little reminder, the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the Board of Regents. For more information, go to KUCI.org. Okay, we're back.
Yes.
And we're talking about success. And I have a question for you. What should a person who is interested in joining a community garden, what should they be looking for? Any thoughts, ideas?
Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you that most community gardens have a long waiting list.
Ah.
So if you're interested in being part of a community garden, find out right away and get on that waiting list. Many community gardens will allow only residents to garden there. So whatever city that you're in, explore that and find out. You can call the Parks and Rec Department and see if they have a community garden. But if you go on our website, you can...
Could you repeat that website again?
I certainly will. If you go on our website, you can see a list of community gardens we've put together. It's not an extensive list, as there are new community gardens opening all the time and closing too, probably. I don't know. But here's the website again, mgorange.ucanr.edu. So if you go on there and select community gardens, you can look at the list of community gardens there. Our list also has links. If those community gardens have websites, we have links to those, or probably email addresses or something like that. So be sure and check it out. There's some way to contact them. Yes. So that's one of the things. And then I would go visit a few community gardens, too, and see what you like, what you don't like about them. Is this really for you? Maybe, you know, there's options to community garden. You can always do container gardening in your on your patio or other kind of things like that. But if you really want to join a community garden, go visit a couple of them and see what they're like.
How do you develop rules? You mentioned rules. The organizing committee or members, do they develop that?
Yes, that's part of it. But if you go to, there's a few websites that support community gardens, and those are on our website, on the Master Gardener website that I just gave you, that the mgorange.ucanr.edu. If you go to that, to our website, there's links to that. And so there's two organizations in particular that deal with community gardens, and both of those have sample rules.
That's important.
It is.
So we have a good idea, and then you can add or subtract whichever ones you want.
That's right. You can edit it any way that you want. What works for your garden might not work for somebody else's garden. It just depends on how your community wants to do it.
Just got to have a good starting point.
That's right.
Very interesting. And they should be put in writing.
That's right.
And have them agreed to by anybody who is allowed into the garden.
That's right. Part of the contract, if you want to say that, the part of the contract of having a plot in the community garden is the fee that you pay and the agreement to the rules. And those are the two things that work, that make a community garden work.
I'm curious, too, and maybe this is a little bit off. Security. Security is, I mean, you've got all these ripe vegetables. What's going to prevent people from selectively entering your garden and your community gardens and taking what they like?
Most community gardens that I know of have a fence around them and a gate. Ours had a gate that had a lock on it, and only the people who had plots there knew the combination to the lock.
Hopefully.
And so you could come in, and we had hours for the community garden. It's good to establish hours for the community garden, because if you're in a community, if you have houses around you, if there's other people around you, you don't want to be coming in really late.
Being a pain in the neck to your neighbors. You want to be a good neighbor.
That's right. You have to be a good neighbor. And so we had hours to our community gardens. We also had scheduled cleanup days for our community gardens so that we could keep our garden looking good. So the fence worked for security for the most part, and then we wanted to make sure that our garden always looked good.
What do you do with people that don't maintain the garden in the way that the organization, the community association that is involved, what happens?
Well,
neglect, etc.
That goes back to the board, and every community garden probably has a board that, you know, consists of who's going to be the head of the community garden this year, the organization, and a secretary and treasurer and different officers like that. And because they have the rules for the community garden, they need to in some way maintain those rules. Sometimes there's sometimes they assigned in different
sergeant
community
at
gardens.
Arms?
That, well, no.
You think we could get Bruce to be the sergeant at
no.
arms?
No. Sometimes, they assigned people to be the keeper of a certain area of the community garden.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
I love that.
And so they kind of watched over that one area of the community garden and then talked to people who were bending those rules a bit, you know, and they wanted to make sure that our community garden was well maintained and maintained by the agreed upon rules.
So what I'm hearing you say is you don't really want one person to be the bad guy who has to discipline, but our neighbors can, neighboring gardens can maintain their own set of standards that fit with the community garden.
That's true. And most of the time, if you look at somebody who's neglecting their plot, there's a reason behind it. You know, perhaps they are on an extended vacation or perhaps they're ill. And most people keep in touch with their neighbors in the community garden, so they would know that and they would be there to help out.
Right, absolutely. And everybody helps each other and we all have good gardens as a result. I like that. One other little question. We still got about 10, 15 minutes to go. We'll take whatever time we need. But have you given thought or have you experience with having a children's garden in the community garden? In other words, a place where children can develop. Have you had any experience in that area?
Well, in the community gardens that I've seen, usually they don't have children's gardens in them. However, there are a lot of gardens that are kind of community gardens that you could probably consider them community gardens, but they're at schools, so they're school gardens, which is the same kind of basis as a community garden, that the children will always learn where their food came from and how to plant, what happens. If you have ever seen a kid for the first time pulling a carrot out of the ground and the astonishment on their face of like, wow, I didn't know it grew there. It's like
it's amazing,
like,
isn't it? Especially if they've had an opportunity to see it as a seed.
Yes.
If they see it as a seed and then plunk it out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. So school gardens are as important as community garden. It's kind of educating the gardeners of the future almost. And that's an area that master gardeners also work in, but it's a different area than community gardens.
And for our listeners, today we are recording this program out at our recreation, South Coast Research Center, and at the Research Center is a children's garden that was developed a number of years ago, and when they have an opportunity to the public to come out here and take a look at it, it's well worthwhile.
That's right. We have several raised beds, and if you've ever seen a raised bed in a community garden, it's one of the best things. Because you have soil that you make yourself, or you can purchase it, that really lends itself to really growing great vegetables.
I was going to ask a question about that. Do you find that most community gardens have raised beds versus in-ground beds?
The ones that I've seen mostly have raised beds. And there's a reason for that. Like I said, you know, you have your control over the soil that you use.
Right.
And that's really what makes the plants grow better. But there are some gardens that don't have raised beds. And those are the ones that, you know, I recommended in the beginning that soil was one of the key factors
that's for
right.
success, isn't it?
It is one of the key factors for success. So if you have your own raised bed, you can make your own soil or buy your own soil. But if you garden in ground, you can still have good soil by using some kind of amendment on it, or first of all testing it. And there are several places that you can test it. And if you want to know those places, you can contact our hotline, the Master Gardener hotline, which is a place where you can go to get any question answered about gardening, and it's a free service that we do. It's hotline at mgorange.ucanr.edu. So if you go there, or if you go on to the website that I had mentioned before, you can reach the hotline through that website. And they will tell you different places where you can get your soil tested. So if you get your soil tested, then you'll know what to do with your soil to make it better soil.
Well, that's interesting, because what I found, at least I've heard, I don't know if this is completely accurate, because things change as we go and from one area to the next, but the average soil in our communities in Southern California, Orange County, have about 4 to 6% nutrient value to them. So if we use raised beds as an example, we can control that, maybe have a little more nutrient value to our soil by having a man-made soil using compost and amendments, et cetera, to help improve our soils. And that's what makes for success. I'm just going to back up for a moment. Take a moment to let our listeners know that they are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Listen to our shows each week on Thursday mornings, 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. But you can check the KUCI website just to make sure that that's when our show is, because they change our show from time to time, our show times. Okay, just to back up a moment.
Yes.
We are looking at having a good location as you're choosing your community garden. That is one you as an individual might want to be a part of. Make sure it has a good location with sun, available water, and in a level condition, so level site. Look at sponsors. check your community parks and recreation department. If you are looking to start a garden, they might be able to give you a great deal of information on finding a site, maybe finding sponsoring, getting funding. Maybe you'll have to lease the site. Who pays for that, etc.? There might be a whole number of areas. Then look at the information that Mary Lou has given you on the websites as far as what is available online. For example, getting rules that the members of the garden, community garden, have to comply with. Just a whole number of areas, a great deal of information. You can also check, I know there's a number of sites covering these areas as far as community gardens. Remember, they've grown over the years because of space availability and having organic type of gardens and fruits and vegetables available to us. Mary Lou, we've just about done our job this morning. You've got a couple more minutes. Do you want to wrap it up and give any other ideas that you might have that maybe we have missed?
Well, you know, one of the things that I missed, I think, was that we talked about the youth garden here at South Coast Recreation. I'm sorry, South Coast Research and Extension. And people will have an opportunity to see that next month.
Really?
Yes, because we're having an urban landscape and garden education expo then on the 30th of September. And they can come here, 7601 Irvine Boulevard, on that day. And there will be tons of things they can find out about gardening. It'll be just, it's a really a great day. This is probably about the fifth or sixth one that we've done. And each year it gets better. There's a lot of things they can find out about different kinds of landscape gardening and fruit and vegetable gardening, all kinds of things. And there'll be people here who can answer their questions about gardening. The other thing that I wanted to say was that I know that we've missed some things. I can't spill out all my brains, or I can't think of everything to say today. So,
believe me, you have given them plenty of good basic ideas of how to get a garden, how to select it, one for you to join. One thing I know that to me is always very important, like having water available close by. It's also good for you to live close to your community garden, because otherwise
you're not going to go there.
In July, you'll think, well, gee, rather than going to the garden, maybe I'll go somewhere else.
I would encourage everyone to go to the website, to our website, and see all of the resources that we have for community gardens, because that will help you to determine if you want to be part of one. And if that's true, then how are you going to do that? And it'll really help you. And the website again is ucoranger.ucanr.edu.
Very good. Well, Mary Lou, thank you for taking your time today to come out here to the Research Center and talk to our listeners about community gardens, because there is a great joy, and it's a great way to meet people that maybe you haven't known before and to learn something about gardening that you hadn't heard of before. And if we're not curious about gardening, finding better ways, well, then we're back in the old rut of doing the same thing and getting the same results each time. And I know that's one of the things that I've mentioned a couple times, why people stop gardening. Bad results, weeds. Third thing is hard work. But hard work in a community garden is really shared work.
Correct.
And you can learn a lot of things, and you can help others. They can help you, and it really goes on, and it makes for a successful community garden where there's a great deal of reward for everybody. Thanks to our listeners. This is our show for today. See you next week.